Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello. Third time hearing the sermon, Julianne. I've got some worksheets for today's sermon. So I was preaching at 10:30 as well today, and normally I have a kids' learning time group, and I put together a little worksheet to help them. Yep, and there are extras and spares, and there are pens down here at the front. So if that's something that would help you to engage during the sermon, I invite you to grab one. I'll just leave them here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that in the love of God and through Jesus Christ, we are all children of God. And the immensity of what that means, that we are a family. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we consider what it looks like to grow as disciples, that you'd speak to us, encourage us, and challenge us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So who here is familiar with the story of Tarzan? Yep. Okay, quite a good number of you. Yep. I was born in the 90s, so I grew up in the golden era of Walt Disney animated movies, and this was certainly one of my favourites. It's the story of a human baby who's raised by apes in the kingdom of a jungle. And this boy, Tarzan, actually becomes just like the gorillas in the jungle around him. So the story begins with an orphan baby. He's discovered by a gorilla and taken in as her child. And the baby grows up learning and living as an animal in the world of the jungle around him. He's known no other. He's given the name of Tarzan by the gorillas. He's taught the language of gorillas and how to communicate with them. He adopts their culture and their society, their customs and their pecking order. So he learns how to wrestle with his young gorilla best friend. He learns how to swim by studying the elephants. He learns to beware of the crocodiles. He learns from looking at the horn of a rhino how he can then turn a stone and fashion it into a spear, which he can use for hunting. He learns from studying the lemurs how he too can swing from the vines in the treetops of the jungle. And his learning environment is so impressionable upon him that even his physical body actually changes. So he grows these massive knuckles with which he's able to walk like a gorilla. He develops all this upper body strength so he can swing in the vines of the treetops. And he even grows thick soles in his feet so that he's actually able to do that really cool thing where he's surfing in the branches. After the growing up montage in the cartoon movie with the Phil Collins song in the background, we get the sense that Tarzan is a human who has fully adapted, habituated, and embodied the animal kingdom around him, so much so that he has in fact become a fearsome creature in the jungle, just as a gorilla. So you're probably wondering why I'm talking about this. I want to suggest that this story of Tarzan being raised as a gorilla is actually a helpful way and a funny way for us to think about what it's like to become a Christian and to grow in your faith as part of the church. Because in a way, becoming a follower of Jesus is an act of becoming a new and different creature. The Apostle Paul says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. So becoming a Christian is becoming a new person, leaving behind the previous life, taking on a new way of life. But even in the original language of this verse in the Bible, it's even more radical and striking than that. It says something like, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. So being a Christian is to be someone who has been made new by Jesus and is at the same time also becoming new every day, like Jesus. Becoming a new creation, a new creature, a new humanity. Just as Tarzan was adopted by gorillas and given a new name and a new identity, and he grew up into that identity, becoming just as a gorilla, so too do people who follow Jesus become more like Jesus as they're surrounded by the Jesus people in the church around them. Just as Tarzan learned and put into practice, and he embodied and habituated a new mindset and new habits, and essentially became a new and different creature, so too do Christians learn and put things into practice. We embody new ways of living. We habituate a new mindset, becoming a new human being shaped after the person of Jesus. So yes, I am comparing our church to a kingdom of gorillas. But I think you get the analogy. So today, as we continue our current sermon series on everyday discipleship for everyday people, I want to pick up this topic and explore with us two important everyday shifts that we each need to make in order for us to grow as disciples of Jesus. Last week, Julie looked at us about the topic of making room in our lives and in our church for new believers. Today, we're looking at how we can make new our lives and the world around us. So the first shift I want to talk about is a shift in our mindset. If you're a new believer or you've been a believer for a while, the same shift in your mindset is necessary for establishing a solid foundation from transitioning from milk to solid foods. Just as Tarzan would have had a particular mindset toward the environment around him, the animals he was growing up with, and even towards himself, so too do Christians see things differently. You might call this a shift in your worldview. Our passage today describes how Christians have a shift in their mindset in how they see Jesus, how they see others, and how they even see themselves. So let's dive in. It says, he, Jesus, died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Can you see the three mindset shifts in this passage? It says that we regard Jesus and other people and ourselves differently. And more than just differently, we're actually given a really high and exalted view of all three a mindset that cherishes the dignity and the preciousness of all three. In terms of Jesus, a disciple knows Jesus as not only a human, but as the Messiah, where we get that word Christ from, meaning the Saviour who died and was raised for us, the person who embodied the love of God and entered into our world, identifying with us in our humanity, dying to take away our sin, and rising up from the grave all the way to the right hand of God, where he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we know Christ as the one who is deserving of all of our worship, all of our love, all of our lives. And we know Christ as the gracious gift that underpins our standing before God. Not anything we have done, our good or bad deeds, but Christ alone. That is the foundational reality that shapes our mindset and our worldview. And it's from this view of Jesus that we see others with a new mindset. As Paul said, since Christ died for everyone, all people are loved by God. We do not evaluate or discriminate against other people or diminish their core worth because of human things like culture or class, their education, their employment, age, disability, fill in the blank. Rather, Christ gives us a new mindset that regards all people as precious. Just think of how Jesus related to the people he interacted with. And going a step further than that, when we gather together as God's church, we regard one another, our fellow Christians, as family. Do you know that as sons and daughters of God, as we sang just before, I am a child of God, yes, I am, that means that the person sitting on the other end of your pew is your brother or your sister, that your elders in this place are your mothers and fathers? This is because when someone becomes a Christian and they get baptized, they become members of a new family in Christ. If we all were to have this mindset of seeing each other as family members, wouldn't we have a stronger sense of family responsibility to one another? Wouldn't we take more responsibility for each other's discipleship, how they're going in their walk with Jesus? And the third shift in our mindset is toward ourselves. Like Tarzan, as Christians, we are new and transformed creatures. If you follow Jesus, then you are, in fact, a new creation already. You're part of the new humanity that has been started with Jesus. This has already happened to you, and it's also an ongoing process of renewal. God has given you a new heart with new desires and new loves and new passions. So put on this mindset for yourself. Know that you are a different creature, a new creation. And as the song helpfully reminded us, this is not something we do on our own. It's yet not I, but through Christ in me. Trust in the Spirit of God who lives inside you and is renewing you every day. So I could list numbers of examples of different things you might do with this new mindset, but actually I feel like it's better if I invite you to put on this mindset, to try out having a new brain and to think differently, to look at others, to look at God, to look at yourself, and to have this high and exalted view of all three, and to let that flow into how you live, what things you do. When we inhabit this new mind, we partner with God in making new ourselves, but also the world around us. I wonder, do you have perhaps a low view of Jesus or a low view of other people in the world or a low view of other people in the church or a low view of yourself? Which of these might you need to heighten your view, putting on the new mind of Christ in light of what Jesus has done for you and for the world? So that's the first shift, a shift in our mindset. The second is a shift in the formation of our everyday habits, or what we might call spiritual practices. So coming back to the Tarzan analogy, Tarzan did not arrive at becoming a fearsome creature of the jungle merely by accident. Sure, he was taught by gorillas, but actually he learned and put into practice what he was learning. He mimicked the gorillas and how they move on the ground. He imitated the lemurs in the vines. And he even innovated and invented new ways of doing things like crafting tools and surfing on branches. In a similar way, putting into practice different Christian habits can actually change us and shape us. When we put on the new self, part of that is reordering our priorities and our everyday habits to reflect the new. So here's an example to illustrate this point. Praying grace before eating. It's the practice of sitting down for a meal, but not just getting stuck straight into the food, but pausing and restraining yourself, centering yourself and focusing on God, and giving a prayer of thanks to God for his provision of the food that you're about to enjoy, and then really enjoying that food together. It's an everyday habit, an everyday spiritual practice of everyday discipleship. But here's the question I want to leave you with. Don't just ask yourself, do I do the habit of praying grace before eating a meal? But rather, am I doing this in a way that's making me more grateful and aware of my dependence on God? Can you see the difference between the two? It's important for us not to lose sight of why we do these Christian spiritual practices, like praying grace, because they have the capacity to change us, to make us new. And when we become people who are more dependent on God, that brings glory to God, and it makes us into people who are driven and shaped by love and gratitude. Another example is intentional or spontaneous gift giving, like tithing or giving donations to people in need. It's a spiritual practice that could permeate the everyday. But once again, the question becomes, how is my doing of this habit, how is it changing me and the world around me? Are you becoming more aware of the needs of others, becoming more willing and generous, not just of your money, but also yourself, your time? Are you becoming more dependent on God's provision and actually less worried about how much or how little you have? The act of giving is good for others, and it glorifies God, and it makes new ourselves and the world around us. So I invite you to do a little stock take of your habits and to look at each one and to ask yourself if there are things in the Christian life that you might need to put more into practice, or you might need to prune or make adjustments to. How is what you are doing in the everyday stuff of life, how is that forming you and shaping you? And is it shaping you to look more like Jesus? Is it making you and the world around you new? And for our whole church, as we put on the mind of Christ and put into practice the things that will make us new, let's remember and embody that reality that bonds us together. That because of what Jesus has done, we each are new creations. That we each are children of God and therefore family with one another. And together we are a new humanity in Christ. Amen.